questions that could reveal your purpose in life? What if there were questions that could surface the change most meaningful to you? And what if answering those questions would give you the power to ignite? Welcome to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. These are big conversations that lead to self-discovery. Together, let's embark on the leader's journey and ignite meaningful change. The greatest impediment to change is inaction. No matter how meaningful a change may be, it won't be realized unless people act to make it so. But given that change is, by definition, something that doesn't exist yet, how do people know what to do to make it a reality? That's a critical part of the leader's responsibility. And yet many fail to realize it. As the keeper of the vision, they can see past what is now to what could be, when others can't yet. They may clearly illuminate what that change is and even amplify it so others know why it matters to them too. But unless they are clear on exactly how to realize that change, others will not, cannot act in alignment to create it. This next Unify question challenges Jonathan to identify at least the first thing to do. Please answer the next Unify card, Jonathan.
How must they act as one unified collective to ignite this change? How must they act as one unified collective to ignite this change? To prevent them from going off scattershot in all directions, what specific actions do they all need to take? Are these different from what they're doing now? Is it about adopting new behaviors?
Ask the question, the primary question again, please, the gold question.
How must they act as one unified collective to ignite this change?
Can you give more emphasis to the bolded word?
How must they act as one unified collective to ignite this change?
And the reason I'm emphasizing that is, first of all, of course, this is about action, but also, if you look at as one unified collective, in your case in particular, they are not unified. You're not running an organization of people that, to whatever degree, not great these days seemingly, but to whatever degree are already, at least in the parameters of one entity, one or enterprise, one organization. That's not your vision, is it? You can't go to one place.
No, far from it.
Yeah.
Far from it. That lies with the nature of the vision. We started talking about certain audiences in the plural, with the obvious ones, political institutions, possibly political parties, NGOs, maybe think tanks, journalists. But I sense that that's just the very narrow thinking that comes from my own experience. And
maybe
and,
not. You can have different foci.
Yeah, yeah. But you're right. There really is not just one place here.
No,
far from it.
It's going to be on you to unify all of those who are in positions, first of all, to help you ignite this change.
Mm.
And I mean positions literally and figuratively.
Mm.
So how must they act as one unified collective to ignite your change?
We're not at T-shirts yet, are we?
We're not at T-shirts
well, yet. No, can just checking.
T-shirts are grand, but...
just checking.
If we think in life that just by wearing a T-shirt, and some people do think this, I'm thinking of a particular master of the brand.
Okay.
Put a T-shirt or a hat on them and you've got a unified collective. In some cases you do, but in most cases you don't.
I'm drawn to this image here because it's, we've touched on this a few times recently. It's this idea of what we're trying to avoid here, as the card reminds us. What we're trying to avoid is that they go off in different directions, scattershot. How do we prevent that?
And the irony for you, Jonathan, is them going off in different directions is actually to some degree positive for your vision, because your vision takes them in different directions. There are so many aspects of your division. So if, for example, some for whom truth resonates, some for whom, I mean, it should, you want all of it to resonate, obviously, but still there may be, with view to the sequence of actions, where some of them heading in one direction first, political, for example, government, policy, think tanks, and others heading to places where immigration, for example, is of possibility to rectify. You can see they take tangents of your vision. So you could apply that to different directions, but that's not what this is asking.
No. I'm still feeling this idea of the unity required at the beginning and how that revolves around the core of the vision. Is there something here about is there something here about starting a conversation, a common conversation here, a single conversation? I mean, I'm finding it. As we move forward, I'm struggling to avoid some of the tools that inevitably come in at some point.
Yes. Tools of communication.
Tools of communication, and where in an early stage where you're trying to bring people together and keep them together.
Yeah.
You find ways to start a conversation and to keep that conversation unified, for want of a better word.
And cohesive.
And cohesive. There's something about I've never gone into, it's a fascinating area, and you probably have, Marianne, but the whole psychology and the techniques of group building, group formation, and how that happens. This is a collective. We're calling it a collective. I'm trying to see the actions that will get a group, a collective, a loose collective of perhaps very different types of people to start to coalesce, and magnetism. You brought in this great idea of magnetism, the core of the earth, the core of a planet, brings magnetism, holds something together. I see that as the challenge here.
Can you envision, Jonathan, even what you've referred to as your inner circle, the first circle? Pick a few people within that circle. Can you envision sharing with them the short or longer text version of your vision, them hearing it, and then how you would want them to respond upon first hearing? How would you want them to respond? In order for them to want to hear more,
that it sparks a conversation, a good, meaningful conversation,
From within that same initial step, or another conversation. What would that be?
Well, at some point, you would probably want the person to say, I know who's going to be interested in this. I know somebody who's going to be interested in this. Let me talk to XYZ. Huh. Have you thought about...
There you go.
Have you gone to these people yet?
Yeah. Now, does that's perfect, but does that preclude them from saying, ah, this intrigues me. I want to help. Not just by, and I'm not devaluing that. That's phenomenal. And you're jumping ahead to an upcoming question. However, what about them personally? Mm. Is there something they can do by themselves without involving? Because you're assuming that they're going to, and I'm playing devil's advocate, because there's huge value in what you've just said, huge, huge value. But you're assuming in that they can't in and of themselves act in a particular way in addition to going beyond themselves.
I'm not seeing what we have at this stage much beyond text.
Well, the text, it lends itself to a conversation, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it's not a conversation. What I'm saying is they're in the conversation with you. You share. And yes, of course, it'd be fabulous if they left that conversation by saying to you, I know who can help. Aside from that, what else could the response be as a unified action? Given who you're speaking to. So some of those that you'll share this with are of tremendous value in how they're connected to potential decision makers, policy, whomever, right? What about in and of themselves? Can there be a first degree of action rather than a second degree of action?
Are you thinking of various platforms that they can offer within their world,
yes,
within their organization?
Yeah, perhaps. If you're thinking of platform as another vehicle through which you can reach others.
To have a hearing.
Yeah, yeah, sure. And again, you know your world. So yeah, for sure. There may be someone, though, in that inner circle who in and of themselves can act in a particular way.
What is it? Are you thinking the simple offer of time and participation?
Well, think of your think tank that you've shared, and the members of your think tank. They are, from my understanding, they are committed themselves in a room and outside of that room in which you meet, to taking, to doing, to thinking, to, for example, and this is my perception of a think tank, to having the conversations where together you create. Whether that creation is thinking about solutions and or writing about them. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean by first degree of action. Second degree, incredible. Third degree, it goes on and on. But what about that inner circle, whoever they may be? And if that doesn't work, again, it's your world of people, then that the answer to this question is what you said or some combination thereof. I just don't want you to exclude the possibility of the first degree of separation, acting in a particular way. And maybe it is, absolutely. Each of them has connections that will help you ignite. So let me exaggerate it for a moment. You speak about your vision and they nod. And then because they like and admire and respect you, their brain's going, who do I'm not, it's not of interest to me, but you know, I like Jonathan. I want to help him out.
And that may be absolutely valid, Jonathan. But I want to help him out. So, well, let me see. Who could I connect him with? Rather than, I'm in this too. I just want to connect him and then I'm out. And then you're out. They're out of your... They're excluding themselves from your collective. And there may be a combination here.
Well, that's why all I can say at this stage is some form of support.
Okay. So what could the support look like? Let's go there. You've already identified it. Let's just put a few more words around it. What would be the optimal support upon sharing? And maybe it'll be a range of things.
Well, if they are really in tune with the vision themselves,
And some will be right away, don't you think? Because you've spoken of some of them.
Yeah, that they would offer to speak themselves.
Speak themselves how? What would that look like?
That in some way they are. I'm trying to find the version of ambassador within a collective.
Beautiful.
Because in this context, I don't like the word ambassador at all.
No, because it's tainted for you.
Well,
from your political experience, maybe.
Yeah, it's. So I don't know what the equivalent of that role
is within
a collective.
Well, maybe you need to rescue the role, like you rescue words.
Yeah.
But the sense you have of ambassador taking the taint away, what would it be? Because we've spoken about how when you deliver your messages effectively, and they hear them, and they then repeat them to others, they become your ambassadors out there in the world.
Yeah.
Emissaries?
Still a little bit grand. Yeah. It's funny how we have how the old language of diplomacy is stubbornly held on.
Yeah.
Ambassadors and emissaries. I want something that's more in tune with the looseness of a collective.
So here's definition of ambassador, diplomat, of course, and accredited, but also an informal representative. Messenger. Driver is another one. You could even just call them colleagues in this.
Well, colleague was the word where I'm thinking it's not particularly sparkling and fresh and creative, but it sort of hits the spot.
Could the word echoer be appropriate?
I think I feel that might be further down the line, and that at this stage it's something a bit closer to me.
Confrère.
Well, you get
it is actually an English word. I just checked.
Yeah.
Right. How much we borrow from the French language?
All over the shop, yeah.
A person who's a member of one's class or profession.
Well, I was going to say, if we're not careful, we'll be saying comrade and we'll get arrested.
Yes, exactly. Back to your love for cooperative and collective. Yeah. Sometimes you need a new word, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Illumify was a new word.
What I'm sensing is the key thing here is somebody who is... Let's approach it a different way. Is willing to roll their sleeves up?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's where I was going. It's often in this kind of initiative. I don't know if it's the appropriate word, but you have in a way helpers that comes with their different skills. And it's as you talk, all of a sudden say, you know what? I'm good in that. I can help you in with social media. I'm really good at setting events. Let me come and help. So they will find different ways where they can contribute with their own skills that they can bring something to the table. So I don't think it's something general that, but.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
How about the word contributors?
Yeah, yeah. It's a good word. It's a good word because people is. Yeah, it's a good word.
It's a good word, isn't it? And remember we had the conversation about the win-win because you're giving others an opportunity to participate and to fulfill something for themselves.
Yeah, that's right.
To contribute.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
To a better world.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Jean has just said, in different ways. It for me it's the I'm still taking a little bit of the spirit of Amplify with me here.
No kidding.
where people, a group of people, rolling their sleeves up and sort of getting their hands dirty in the thing itself.
Yeah, actively. The emphasis here is on action, right?
Actively, action,
not passively.
No, that's it.
Actively.
That's
your aim is to build commitment.
Yeah, yeah.
So how can they commit?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What can they do?
Yeah, it's action again, isn't
it?
In
that first level of commitment.
Sure.
And what could it be that it will start to unify them?
Well, and that's where the text comes back in.
Yep.
It's not the only thing, but it's a very important part of what will unify us together in the beginning is people, you know, I'd want people to say, I'd say to people, I want, you know, read this text and then tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Let's have a conversation about the text. It's our starting point.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think.
Yeah.
And we go from
there.
There
you go. There.
Yeah.
Tell me how it makes you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. No, exactly.
Could be kind of a focus group for you.
Well, exactly. And that is action. That, you know, that
is.
That is action.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that very exercise could reveal to you possibilities you can't see yet in terms of action.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that it's a very interesting because in education we have, I don't want to say new school, but new approach to education. And as we're sharing it with people through different medium, then people get interested and they reach out to us. And there are two things. One is, I want to learn more. I want to know more. And the second one is, how can I contribute? How can I contribute? And this what
how
comes
can
back.
I help you? How
and
can
that's
I contribute?
And what comes is, okay, let's discuss and let's see what you can bring to the table.
Yeah.
What are your skills? How do you see yourself in that big picture?
Yeah.
And often they're not too sure, but as we're discussing with them, we see some skills that start emerging. What about, could you do that? Oh yeah, I can totally do that. So let's go. And that's how we start taking
as
action.
As you're creating more and more. Mm. Yeah. And in your case, and that's true for you as well, of course, Jonathan, but the other thing is, this in itself is a filter system for you. As you go forward and you express this, you will, as you'll see, make an ask. You're looking for people who want to contribute, who want to be of service to this vision, right? And if they don't offer, that's okay. You're looking for your core at this point because you're building from scratch. That doesn't mean, though, that as you start to build, as your collective grows and your vision starts to take root, that those same people who didn't act initially, who didn't offer to be of service, to actively participate in some way, doesn't mean they're out. There are, you know, we spoke about crossing the chasm. You say chasm or
chasm.
I do too, but I think in North America they say chasm. Anyways, crossing the chasm, when you have a new thing, and it's often applied to technology, who were the early adopters, who were not, there is always a group of people, usually similar traits among them. When a new idea comes up, they want to be first to adopt it because they love the new. They love the new. They're not the majority, though. They are not. So if you were to take 100% and apply it, I can't remember specifically. There's a great book called Crossing the Chasm. When my diagnostic was new and I was the only one, and I still am with, and that's good and bad, right? Because people don't know what it is. I learned this. You want to reach the people for whom it resonates initially because they'll cross that chasm. You don't have to push them, because if you push them, they'd fall in, and that's not a pretty sight. So you want them to willingly make that sometimes quantum leap. And then behind them are two other segments. There are some who are just waiting for the first few to cross before they too are willing to cross, because now they know the ground is safe, secure, and they've seen others do it. And they've seen perhaps the impact or the effect on those others. So then they cross. And they would be, if the first group are, say, 10%, the next group, and my numbers could be off based on the research, but the next group I could see would be 30%. So now we're at 40%. The 60% are waiting till it's proven and established. We're not about change so much. We're at familiar, that there are enough people for whom that is a reality, that, okay, it's safe for me to change my reality. So how can you apply that concept of crossing the chasm to that first group? So when you say offer to speak, you know, some will be more willing to speak than others.
Yeah, I'm drawn back to the word resonance.
Yeah,
that we used in Amplify, where for various reasons that the vision and how it's expressed just triggers and evokes much more within that particular person, because they are already waiting for or in tune with.
Exactly. They're there. They're already there. Because whatever is in that regard is intolerable to them as well. But what they're not is clear on how to rectify it. They don't have your vision yet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
But they are there because it's painful to them at some level.
Yeah, because the words are so resonant, it evokes the hunger in them that they can now become aware of and be like, oh, I want that.
You've captured it, right? You've put voice to it, words to it, language to it. Jonathan, I've known you a long time. I didn't realize you've captured exactly the thing that I've been most concerned about, but I didn't know anyone else shared it. Jonathan, that's really true. I can see it. Just last week, I had an experience. And I was thinking, what do we do about this? So it's reaching those in your first iteration, if you can. Oh, if only, and I don't think you need this anymore, if only for further validation. But even one, it always feels good to find some kindred spirit.
Yes, and I'm going to go back to a word that you've used, Marianne, that process of intelligence gathering never really stops, does it?
No.
Because what you just said there, I think, is important, is that they will give you examples of how the vision has played out in their life.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And how golden is that, right?
Yeah.
Because you know in your life, now they're opening another window for you.
Yeah.
shared home.
And those are the beautiful moments which remind us that separated as we are by distance, geography, those are the moments that remind us that we do live in the same world. Mm-hmm. You know, we're saying one of the fundamental problems we're trying to deal with here is this sense of the very uncanny and alienating sense of a fragmented world where we question, we wonder, we doubt whether we're actually experiencing the same world, living in the same world. And then you have those moments of recognition and affirmation where you think,
I'm not alone here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I felt that too.
Yeah.
And the interesting part is that those people they're there and they're waiting.
Yeah.
So the only thing you have to do is to go out and become visible. And I'm personally, and I'm an example of that, as I was in education for 12 years, going all around the world to find the right system, the right place, and never found it. And after 10 years, 12 years, I said, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm just not satisfied. I know what I'm looking for. It's not there yet. So I stepped out. And until I, for one reason, this initiative that my partner now brought up 2-3 years ago came to me. And as I was reading it, the description said, this is it. That's exactly what I was looking for.
You create it, she and you are creating a different system.
And I was not really looking for it anymore, but somehow it came to me and I knew it was the right thing. Mm. So those people are there. They're in a way in that state where they're waiting for something to just emerge. And it's like a magnet, right? And just attracted to it. And it's okay. Now what?
How can I
contribute?
Yeah. Mm. Because those people in your world, Jonathan, are not necessarily, I'm not denigrating really, but they don't have the vision of possibility that you have. But also, we've spoken about leadership. Leadership is a choice, and it's a tough choice because you're challenging what is. And so even when what is less than ideal, it first of all becomes normal. It's all we know. So to see beyond what is takes vision, and not everyone either has the ability or wants to exercise the ability. They're so entrenched in what is. Some of them are benefiting from what is, even when it's less than ideal. So when you step forward and say, hey, what is? We can do better than this. Here's how we can live together. Here's how we must live together. We speak truth, etc. Now you're saying, you're going to, as you said, Sean, there will other be people, and you know them already. I'm sure they're in your world. Say, first of all, yes, thank you. And part of them goes, ooh, and I don't have to lead it. I can participate actively, committedly. But Jonathan is willing to lead this. I support his vision, and I'll do whatever I can to help. Tell me more, Jonathan, and then how can I help? How can I contribute? But you're offloading them of the huge role and responsibility of being the leader on this.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So back to the question, please.
How must they act as one unified collective to ignite this change? How must they act as one unified collective to ignite this change?
So if you break that down into because if you look at the prompt underneath it, to prevent them from going off, scattershot in all directions. Scattershot being the emphasis there. Just no concerted action. What specific actions do they all need to take? Again, not a unified, not one, you don't have a single homogeneic collective right now, i.e. an organization. So if you apply this to you, what specific actions? We're talking first actions in your case, because you need to, first of all, start to form that collective, right? So you've mentioned a number of them. Can you identify those and then answer the last two lines of that prompt? Are these actions different from what they're doing now? And does it mean, is it about adopting new behaviors?
So if I go to the starting point here, and there's this moment of I'm going to introduce a new image now, because it's something you mentioned earlier, the idea of getting something off the ground, just the sheer energy that is required to get something off the ground. And to do that without people then scattering in various directions.
Willy-nilly, I love your words.
Yeah, yeah. then that took us to a conversation about the text, sharing the text, having a proper good deep conversation about the text, where I'm saying, tell me what you think. What did you feel? What does this make you feel? And where part of that is intelligence gathering. But where amongst that first group, not everybody, as you've said, not everybody, but you will start to find the first individuals who say, okay, yeah, I want to help. So that's going on. As there's a filtering there. I think you said filtering. There's a filtering going on in this first stage here. So that's happening. Then, as we said, some of them will also say, okay, I'm in. I like this. I want to help in some way. And as Jean said, that could take different forms. That may also lead to the person saying, and I know somebody else who's going to be interested as well.
Exactly.
So let's bring her into the next meeting, the next conversation. Yeah. So that's developing momentum. And
yeah.
I mean, there's an interesting question on the card now. You said we'll come to the end. Just before that, are these specific actions that they all need to take, are these different from what they're doing now?
Yeah,
there has to be something. That's the fresh, isn't it? That's.
Einstein said something, I may be misquoting, but if we do the same things and expect a different different results, that's the definition of insanity.
Right, yeah. Well, and there's a mirror image here of the danger within my own life, where you need to avoid the trap here, or the, well, let's take a step back. You made a very good point, Marianne, which is in this first instance, there are people who may not know or may not want to do much right now. Doesn't mean to say they're off the radar, though.
Right.
Yeah. People sometimes.
Radars, yeah, absolutely. You know,
I think
they're still within your orbit.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But I would want within the first group and among those people to say, okay, I'm interested. I want to help.
Yeah.
That they would almost go through the same process as me and think, okay, where do I fit this into my life? How can I find space here? I want to find space. Mm-hmm. What form does it take? because to state the obvious, everybody has endless claims on their time. So everybody faces the same question of prioritizing what brings meaning, what do I...
And on that note, where do we spend our time? Aside from the, you know, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, okay, assuming that the basics are resolved and we have a choice, we tend to spend time, devote time and space to what is most meaningful to us. Hence the need, the critical need to ensure that this is meaningful to them too.
That's right. Yeah, that's a very good way of looking at it. That the triangle is very helpful because as I said a few moments ago, I feel extremely lucky even to be able to have a conversation about the top of the triangle. Extremely lucky. And then from that, to imagine that you need to get inside the top layer of somebody else's triangle and find space there, it's like, oof, boy, how do we do that?
Yeah.
So we're back to the same challenge that runs through all of this. Meaning, something that's meaningful to somebody else, and on top of that, so meaningful that they're not only excited by it, but actually want to help.
And they may be driven by different motivations. So I'm thinking, for example, of a politician who may have been in government or may not be in government, may have been just kicked out of government. You never know, right? Maybe in opposition, maybe in some, depending on the country, some relatively disempowered multi-parties, whatever. So from a political perspective, given this can largely be a political vision, you could have a politician say, I see it. And someone, and I'm not that cynical, I do still believe there are people in political office who are truly there to do good.
Absolutely.
Right?
No question.
You know that.
I've seen them, yeah.
So those are the people you could reach who see the good in this and truly want to help realize it. Then you, on the political scale, you could also have those who may see it for their own betterment, their legacy, their whatever. So there are different motivations for getting aboard. This vision is true to you. Ultimately, I do believe it will filter out those for whom it isn't actually true, who are doing it for ulterior purposes. But imagine then if you are speaking, giving voice to this, expressing it in a way where it has never been pulled together in those words before. They felt a part of it, and now you're giving them the cohesive possibility.
Yeah, even talking about this here now, around this kitchen table, I'm imagining scenarios where I would have to make the exercise different in some way. I'm coming to the end of the question here, the end of the card, which is in very demanding. Is it about adopting new behaviors? It sort of has to be, really. I mean, the vision itself has to appeal to that idea and strive for it. I mean, it's a very big ask. And here we're looking at creativity now and how we bring that into this.
And implied in that, this is a question about them, you know, how must they act? But you could also apply that last part, so new behaviors by them. Sometimes getting them out of intransigence because they've given up, defeat, dismay. Come on, just take one step forward with me. But also new behaviors potentially on your part with this group of people. And this is not it, but in some cases, Jonathan, the new behavior could be on the part of the visionary, just stepping up may be perceived as a new behavior by some. Mm. Wow, you're vocal about this. I knew you were passionate about some things, but you're not only passionate, you are vocal and you are willing to be the face of this. So that could be perceived as a new behavior on your part. Getting out of the back rooms, stepping forward.
Sure.
Going up on stage, so to speak.
Mm, yeah.
But what about on their part? It's an individual question as well, because it'll vary by individual, depending on to whom you're speaking.
But the first immediate response to that, I think, is what Jean was saying earlier, what Jean brought in, is that each person will have their own way of expressing themselves in the world through writing, through education, through mentoring, through sitting and thinking, through making music. You know, I really don't want to rule out those important areas outside of politics here. I think that's...
No, absolutely not. No, that was just putting one face on it.
So what each person is able to do themselves, and it may be things that they have stopped doing.
What could those be? Let's start there.
Well, you talked about people that have given up, lost hope. We know what that feels like, and sometimes we stop doing something because it seems
fruitless.
Yes.
Pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that could be absolutely a new behavior. Again, remember spark, right?
Yeah.
Spark with view to igniting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. I did, as I said in my previously, I took a break of teaching.
You retreated.
I retreated.
Yeah.
Said, this is not for me anymore. There's nothing there for me at the moment.
Yeah.
So I totally, until the spark came.
And in your case, we know, of course, when you opened these conversations saying you had been, I believe it was your language, a hermit, you retreated to the cave to do your writing. There was a reason, but it was also prompted by life. Right. We all do it. And thankfully we do it, because then you can reemerge unified again after things can serve to put you in a state physically, psychologically, emotionally, where you're not your full unified self. So if that's the case to whatever degree, and the people you know to whom you would speak initially, you know, have given up, reconciled, retreated, whatever those things that would impede or obstruct their ability to participate, then identify the new behaviors. And the reason all of these things are in this card is because we are going to get more specific in upcoming cards.
Mm. Yeah, that loops us back nicely into the idea that the vision doesn't give them a to-do list. It doesn't give them a prescription. It gives them space.
Yes.
And an invitation to act.
So then answer that from this card from that, because first iteration, however they know you, however you know them, what would be the invitation to act that you could impart to all of them, regardless of what they could do? What's the first thing to spark them into action?
I keep coming back to these first conversations. Not we're not in the amplify stage anymore. This is we've moved beyond that. Where the conversation has to spark the person's imagination so that they don't just take in the vision and absorb it and hear it, but it sparks something within them. So their imagination takes hold of the vision for themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
From that, they want to bring their range of skills to the table, to bring it to life.
So what action could you ask them to take in order to spark that vision? In order to spark how your vision could apply to their lives? Remember, they're hearing this for the first time.
Is it maybe some sort of exercise where I invite them to tell me how they see this in their life?
Is that what, if you put yourself in that group and someone else in your role and you're listening and someone said to you, Jonathan, how would this apply to your life? Do you see how it would apply? Please tell me. Can you see how that would work?
Yeah.
Very interesting, because that's where I was going as I was reflecting on that. And I remember how everybody that now is actively participating or wanted to contribute, the first thing they wanted to do was to share about their own experience, where they're at and how whatever we're presenting to them is talking to them. Like, they want to, let me tell you my story.
Yeah.
Why is this reaching me so much? So it kind of opened the door. So
yeah, but it's the application question. And really it's a resonance question. But doing it at source. Can you share with me how this could apply to your life? Now you're getting first stories, aren't you?
Very much so.
And how invaluable are those? Yeah. And you're asking them to reflect. And also, underpinning that is the ask, the recognition that, first of all, that they're distinct. They have their own stories, their own lives, but also that you value that. Tell me how you see it, how this would work in your life. And then give them the opportunity for first stories. Tell their own story. Now imagine back to intelligence gathering. You've shared your vision. Now you've got people starting to unify, because also as they speak about how it applies or doesn't apply to their life, the doesn't will reveal to you that they don't see it yet. And how are you going to express it moving forward or embellish it in the moment, add more color to it to help them see it. Okay. But so there's invaluable intelligence there. They don't see it. Interesting. Yeah. But then the fact that you've got whatever size group sharing how they do see it. Now, you know, when we share, there's can be a bond starting to create. When we see in others some similarity, we start to cohese when there is similarity. And we also start, and these people may or may not know each other, but now if they don't, you've got people revealing themselves to each other and how rare is that in a safe space, right? Because what you're speaking of is very intimate, isn't it, Jonathan? You've used that.
Yes. And I think it lends itself to, well, because it a lot of it came from our sense of loss.
Yes. Yeah?
Disorientation, alienation.
Yeah.
Not all of it, but
those
a lot.
Things cut deep in people.
Yeah. Big chunk of it was coming from that.
Yeah. So now you're saying, please tell me your story. In other words, do you see how this is perhaps relevant to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny. I'm scribbling away here. There's almost as if another character has very quietly entered the stage now.
Ah.
Who and it's a surprise. It wasn't in the list of characters in the cast.
Okay.
So the
I'm
audience
intrigued.
Is yeah. Who's this?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There is the leader, there's the vision, there's the collective. But it's a little bit like the image, the metaphor that you gave yesterday, Marianne, I think about the mannequin wearing the clothes.
Yeah.
There's something here about the vision going forward, being presented, tested, presented, communicated, expressed, people hearing it, there's an exchange, there's conversation. And as that process continues, as we move forward, the vision is still there. Mm-hmm. The language is not changing fundamentally. The core, certainly the core is there. The collective, we hope, is slowly but surely expanding. But then through this process that you've described of people giving their story, sharing their story, sharing how they felt this. Are we not creating something here which is slightly separate from the vision itself? There's an energy here, there's a sense of community amongst the collective, which is actually separate from the vision. Which feels right, or maybe it's the vision becoming its second self.
Okay,
you know, there's everything we've talked about so far is the vision as a child, and now it's taking first steps.
The mannequin starting to walk.
Yeah, there's definitely a sense of something new here, a new character walking on stage. It's not the vision, because the vision remains the vision. The leader remains the leader. The collective, we hope, grows.
Your vision is coming to life, though.
Yeah, yeah. There's just something here about... There's something beautiful about the way people are adding to this with their stories, their ideas.
Yeah.
And it's all staying true. We're not losing the vision.
No. And it is related to the vision. It's almost like the vision is the inner spring.
Yes, yes.
Spring as in a coil,
yeah.
Not as a season. Yeah. The inner spring, and then it.
Yeah. It's that. It's the vision. It's the vision within something, and I think this is good and healthy. That the vision is not the be and end all in the end. You know, haha. That's the true tale of the story.
Yeah.
Because this is where ideologies fail and are destructive and inhuman, because they say, I am everything.
Right.
Bow down to me.
Yeah.
Because I, as the red book, me, the textbook, mm-hmm. me, the set of rules, mm-hmm. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end. Yeah. There is no space for you.
No.
You bow down to me and obey the ideology.
Yeah.
The vision here is something that lives and breathes and just has, again, core certainty, clarity, yes, all of those things. A very clear statement, yes. But it has, there's a natural modesty within it as well, mm-hmm. where it invites people to grow around it,
mm-hmm.
and give it a second life and a bigger life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to emphasize these individual sharings are very much related to your vision.
That's where it starts, right. Yes.
And you have used so poignantly the image, the metaphor, but the image of a tree.
Mm.
So if the trunk, the root, whatever you want to call it, is your vision, now it's starting to sprout. Not maybe take root yet, but sprout. These individual stories, could they be your first branch, or what would they be? Because they are based on the foundation of your vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
They wouldn't be surfacing unless your vision led to them.
That's it. That's it. I mean, and this is where through the strategy, the steps of the strategy, we would need to find ways to keep the unity, to be aware of moments where it's bending off, leaving the track maybe a little bit too much. And
Remember unifying.
Yes.
Your job, once you move forward, is to continually unify.
Yes. Yes. I scribbled in my notes yesterday, and it was going to be a question to you. When does a collective split? And I had all sorts of funny, silly, old, you know, this is before my time, Brittany, by the way. This is before, even before my time. Monty Python in the 1960s. Do you remember the scenes? I think it's in The Life of Brian, and people are sitting down in the arena, and there are secret messages between the rebels. Are you the Judean People's Front? No. We're the People's Front of Judea. right. Yeah.
Semantics.
Yeah. We hate those lot. We hate them. Well, but as we know, it's funny, but they made the joke.
They did. There's a big
grain of truth in there, which is
for
that,
sure.
What do we say? The narcissism of small differences, semantics.
Yeah. You see, though, that is another responsibility of your leadership. Engage, align, mobilize, unify that collective, starting with a small little inner core and containing it, unifying. And there's a lot that goes into unifying.
Yeah.
And it may be, Jonathan, that collective, within the collective, there are individual collectives devoted to, you have a massive vision. So rather than thinking of it as breaking off or being the inverse of the semantics of the name, think of it as a nuclear group, a nuclear focused on the nuclear versus, I don't know, you don't know yet. But because your vision is so large and encompassing and geographically, you know, all-encompassing, if you envision, you know, an organizational structure where you have someone at the top and then you have the reporting structure, that's not you from a hierarchical thing, obviously. But if you take that graphic, within your collective, you may have chapters, groups within that collective, across geographies, across initiatives, across, but it's all about working together toward realizing the same vision. So the cohesion of the overall collective is your job. You can't control whether someone comes in and then sees the contrary, sees your vision and goes, okay, I'm out of here. Not only am I out of here, I'm disengaging, but I'm going to do the opposite. You cannot control that. what you can manage is and ensure is that through you and through how you continually in every iteration express your vision in words as to what the vision is and the actions that make your vision come to life, come to ignite and come to fruition ultimately. That you can do because from your perspective, where you already see the vision, you will also see how the seedlings can thrive.
Yeah.
Into that mighty oak with all the various branches of it. We're really mixing a lot of metaphors, aren't we? I don't think I've ever used as many metaphors.
There have been innumerable metaphors.
Can you keep track of them all? Poor listeners.
Each serves its own unique purpose.
Thank you for that. Well, you know, we're dealing with invisible words and there are no images going along with these. So wherever you can, when you speak, if you can use imagery, it helps. We are predominantly, as a human species, a visual group. We learn through visual. Visual learners versus auditory or kinesthetic, et cetera. So use words that depict pictures and images when we can, even when they seem kind of obscure at times. So where are you at, Jonathan?
Yeah, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that it's a mix of these specific actions that provide unity are a mix of things we've talked about, the conversation that's happening around the text, where we're still testing and gathering intelligence around the text, giving people the chance to tell me how this vision makes them feel. Yeah. How have they seen and felt this in their own life or in the life of their family and friends? It's about giving them the chance to contribute because they will have particular skills, particular ways of seeing the world, their own way of communicating, which will bring something to the table. Mm-hmm. And from that, suggestions of other people who they believe will want to join the inner core here at the beginning.
Yeah, or who even don't have to join in order to act. There may be some initial act that they can do because they're in a position to do it now. I mean the outer one, those they go to, yeah? And it's your job to be the custodian of that vision. And in these conversations, those are all potential treasures, right, of the actions, the stories. So gather them near to you. Keep them in a collection. Start to form a collection of them. And know, with view to, first, also continual intelligence gathering, because these are golden nuggets you're being given. So both in terms of the stories and the examples and the individuals sharing them. Again, invaluable intelligence in these early conversations.
Yes. Yeah.
And there could very naturally be, a number of years ago, there was a concept, I don't know, maybe it was from New York, but I pulled it home to Toronto, of a salon. It's an old concept, but a salon where in, I don't know, the 1800s, maybe, European, no doubt, people would gather and, you know, if you think of the Renaissance, people would gather and discuss ideas. So my husband and I started an initiative of a salon, and we invited people to our home. And I don't remember how we chose the topics, but it was exactly this. We would take, likely there were political issues, whatever it was, and we would get all these different perspectives and facilitate the conversation. Now, in your case, it's with view to igniting that change. Mm. not just having the conversations.
Right. Yeah, big difference.
Big difference, yeah. As you've learned, haven't you? As much as you love conversation and are really, really good at it, this is with a purpose, a specific purpose. But can you see how that would be a gold mine for you and an initial one?
Yeah, absolutely. And now I'm starting to see a little bit more clearly that final part of the card. Do we need new behaviors here? Yes, because certainly within that first circle for me, there is a risk that people, because they are political in some way, mm-hmm. will naturally feel, understandably feel, and rightly feel that they're already doing something in this area.
Yes.
This
good
part
point.
Of their life is covered.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're fully devoted
thanks, Jonathan,
to it.
Thanks, Jonathan. This is
yeah.
great. Yeah. Really like the sound of it. But they might not say this, but silent, they'd be saying, well, I'm already doing ABC here.
And maybe even implied in that, and you're not. I'm fully engaged in it, and I don't mean to be nasty about it, but part of them may say, I'm doing all I can. And what are you doing? Right.
No, absolutely.
Or only
absolutely.
Now you're saying this?
Yeah.
I've already been at it, so.
And we're back to a recurring theme where if the vision is going to be true to itself and to be able to test itself and come through its own test, it needs to be bringing some originality, I think, in ways of doing things.
Yes, I agree. However, your articulation of your vision has originality. If you look at it from the perspective of all the issues it's meant to encompass and resolve, they are at ground level 0-0. You've taken, through your articulation of it, to a higher perspective at, say, 30,000 feet up. So even those who are listening to you, who are in, you know, they're doing whatever they can politically now, they may be at, not maybe, they're not at ground zero, but they may be at 200 feet up or 20,000 feet up. You're taking them above that to see how the different individual pieces necessary to ignite that are connected. They may have one piece of it. But yes, new behaviors. Could it also be that despite their intentions, that even within what they're doing, let's say immigration, and they're doing, you know, what is perceived to be a great job, they're actually unconsciously doing something that is impeding your vision of what could be?
Yeah, that's always going to happen.
Because they can't see it.
Yeah.
So again, new behaviors perhaps. Mm. Maybe the behavior is, look at how your piece fits into the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Where they've been single focused, now they need to become broader focused.
Yeah.
Because all of your pieces are interconnected and all of them affect each other.
Sure, yeah. Well, I can immediately think of people who are just as passionate as I am about the European Union, about our need for the European Union today more than ever, but I think who would fundamentally disagree with me on some really fundamental stuff, the sort of stuff that we've been discussing over the last few days, which is good.
Yep, sure.
You know, and for me, that's a sign of the health, the democratic health of the European Union. But it also clarifies, it illustrates your point that each vision is unique and comes from a different place.
And even though they would argue, or and perhaps rightfully, with you on something, does that preclude them from being a contributor?
No, no, not necessarily. No, yeah. No, no, no.
Ready to go back to the question in summary?
How must they act as one unified collective to ignite this change? We've touched on a number of different actions that they can take together so that we have a unified collective. We have talked about conversation, deep conversation, intelligence gathering, testing around the text of the vision itself, and how amongst a core group, a first group, that will bring energy, but also open up this space within their imagination where they say, I want to help. I can help. I want to help. We've touched on the different skills, experiences that people can bring to the table. We have talked about their ability to pass on the message and bring other people in as well. And we've talked about the need for new behavior, because just as I, if we go right back to the beginning of the conversation, just as I need to find new space within me, within my identity, to express the vision and take it forward, so too will they, at least the people who are really willing to stand up and say, yeah, I want to help. They will, I need to help them find a space within their own heart and mind to help with this. It has to feel new to them as well.
Yeah. Do you see how your recognition of all of that is essential, and how it's rarely done before people reach out?
I'm certainly feeling the value of the rigor of what we're doing now, and of how we're going very deep into. Again, this is, it's not really strategy. It's something.
No, we're not in strategy now.
It's still something that
we're deep in execution, actually.
Yeah.
Pre-execution.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I think I got to this image of the vision itself starting to take on a new life, a new personality, which is a good thing. It's not a second or a third version of it. It's not a new model. There's a natural growth within it here, through the conversations, through people bringing in their lived experience of it, that moment of recognition. It's where the vision is taking on strength, space, it's expanding, but without losing any of its core integrity. And as you said, Marianne, part of the leader's job, part of my job, is to make sure that the unity remains, so that that everything remains true to the vision. This is not, it's not about censorship. It's not about shutting people down. It's not about hemming people in. There's a subtler, a much subtler piece of work going on here around listening and making sure that the the vision is respected in the best way, that, that if we are going to be here and if we are going to stay here as a collective, we do need to be true to the vision. And as you said, if Jeff over here is starting to fall out of love with it and it's not for him, then fine. And then that's time for Jeff to go. Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That will happen. But that's, we have to stay true to the vision.
Yeah. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Well done. As you may well know by now, Jonathan loves conversation. So when he first began to answer this question about how they must act as one unified collective to ignite his change, he jumped to having a conversation. That wasn't surprising for someone who spent his career as a professional communicator and for whom good conversation is such a passion. Conversation can be invaluable in forming a collective of those who can help ignite the change. But even the most meaningful conversation won't in itself change anything. Like this conversation, there has to be an outcome. Jonathan ultimately revealed the first step toward igniting his vision of change. And he saw the need for new behaviors, both for himself and others. Action, take one. The leader's journey continues. If listening to this Illumify Game Changer podcast is of value to you, please like it on this platform and share it with those who could ignite meaningful change. It's here, as am I, to be of service. I'm Marianne Gobet. Thank you for accompanying us on the leader's journey. To fully experience the passage to igniting meaningful change, subscribe to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. To learn more about the Illumify Game Changer and how to embark on your own leader's journey, please visit Illumify's website at illumifyinstitute.com. You matter. Step up. Speak up. Together, let's ignite meaningful change.